Christians throughout the land. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, our key verse this weekend. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I want to read what Hebrews chapter 11 has to say about Moses. Look at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this afternoon what I'd like to do is talk about another man of faith, that is Moses. Look down at verse 23 and you will see the background of Moses' life. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. It's interesting as you read the story of Moses that his parents, even though there was an edict out by the king, Pharaoh, that all the males were to be destroyed. They were to be killed. Moses' parents thought otherwise. And when Moses was born, they, by faith, hid him. They knew he was a special child. And young people, what this reminds me of is the fact that you are special. That God certainly has a plan for your life, each and every individual. God is a God of individuals. Have a look at your fingerprints. You don't have one. There's not a person in this room has the same fingerprints as the other 6 billion people on this planet. Your retina is different. God's a God of individual. God knows every hair on your head. As a matter of fact, He's numbered them. He hasn't counted them, He's numbered them. Big difference. When you had your shower this morning and you lost hair number 5,478, it was significant to God. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, Jesus used the illustration about sparrows. If a sparrow falls to the ground, God's concerned about that. How much more is He concerned about you? And Moses' parents, by faith, realized that this was a special child. Christian, let me share something with you. If you come from a Christian home, that is an enormous privilege. To be brought up by Christian parents is a tremendous advantage. And I can tell you, from not having that and then getting saved when I was 30 and my kids were young enough that I could influence them and show them that the Bible was the Word of God and train them up in the way they should go. And when they are old, they shall not depart from it. And that's what the Scriptures tell us. Moses had a tremendous advantage of having godly parents. And it reflected in his life and the choices that he made. Moses was brought up in an atmosphere of faith. Joshua said this, and it was the very first verse, I think, that I ever memorized. Joshua 24 and 15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I remember putting that plaque up on the wall in my home just shortly after I became a Christian. And I remember my prayer was that I would be like Joshua, that I would choose. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Refused. You know what the hardest words are, the hardest word in the English language is? No. Refusing to say no. Moses said no to Egypt, to the world. You got to understand, and you remember the story, that Moses, because he was hid by his parents, he was sent down the Nile River, and actually, no coincidence at all that Pharaoh's daughter just happened to be bathing there that day and saw this baby and brought Moses as a little baby into her home. He really was second in command. Moses had every opportunity to be possibly the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But it says when Moses became of age, he decided that wasn't for him. He'd rather be identified with God's people than be identified with the people of the world. So he really said no to the world. Worldliness is not so much an act. I want you to think about this for a minute. Christian, if you are worldly, it's not so much what you do, it's actually more of your attitude. A worldly Christian has an attitude. And worldliness really is human activity with God left out. You know what? You can go and play frisbee this afternoon and not have to leave God out of that picture. You can listen to music and you don't have to leave God out of the picture. You can be with your friends and not leave God out of the picture. It's not so much what you're going to do as much as your attitude. Worldliness recognizes nothing of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's sort of a worldly Christian leads a life that is sort of horizontal. All its plans will end at the grave. A worldly Christian motto is not necessarily success, but is success, but not holiness. What's your goals, young people? Is your goal to be successful in this life and to get washed up on shore in heaven? Just barely make it? Well, you see, that's an attitude of worldliness. It's a worldly person is one who has a love for passing things. I think it was McDonald who said it's like spending your life rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Young people, this world is going to fade away, and so are you. Believe it or not, you're going to get to be my age someday. Honest. Hopefully. And the more I look back and the more I realize how much wasted time I have had in my own life, even as a Christian, it's frightening. And it was during those times of worldly pleasures and treasures, Moses said no to the world. Stanley Jones said, society demands conformity. If you fall beneath its standards, it will punish you. If you rise above its standards, it will persecute you. Christian, when was the last time you were persecuted for your faith? But the Christian is a departure upward. He gets out of step with the world, for he hears a distant drummer. He is no longer an echo, but a voice. He is no longer a thing, but he is a person. The herd dominance is broken. Now, you young people, do you remember this? It was a fad probably in the early 90s. It was called line dancing. You remember that? Remember those big cowboys with big bellies and big buckles? Big cowboy boots? And they, you know, the line went this way, then they go that way. And you can see I was never any good at it. But that's the way the world is. It'll get you to line dance with it. And you better keep in step. And young people, I'm going to say this because it's not a sin. It's not even bad. But I'm going to tell you why you dress the way you do. Because people do what people do. That's what. You know, remember a few years back, everybody was coloring their hair, especially the guys. Remember that? I think it's sort of gone. It's not as big. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you why it happened. Did you know why it happened? Because people do what people do. See, the world has a tremendous influence on people. And we dress according to its standards. And we go through fads according to the world's standards. And we line dance with the world. Now, I'm not telling you not to dress. I don't want you to stand out necessarily like a sore thumb. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just trying to show you that the world will influence you. Moses said no to that. I want you to think of another hero. He's mentioned here in chapter 11. Joseph. Joseph, I'm going to guess, but probably was around 17, 18, maybe even a little younger, when, not by his own choice, was put into Egypt, far away from home. And Joseph, the Bible tells us, was a hunk for you girls. He was a good-looking man. That's what the Bible says. He was very, very strong and good-looking. And as a matter of fact, he caught the attention of a woman over there that was already married. And I want you to picture yourself, young people, in this type of situation, because really you are in this situation, whether you think you are or not. Joseph might have his religion and his thinking must have been upside down, because to the Jew, if you were good, you were blessed. That's sort of the Old Testament thinking, okay? And really, in the New Testament, you know, God honors those who honor him. But you see, Joseph was put in Egypt, as we find out as we continue to read the story, for a much bigger purpose than he originally thought. But, you know, his theology must have been sort of mixed up, because here he is. He was a good guy. He was a faithful guy. He was a strong young believer. And, you know, his world was upside down. I mean, he was misunderstood by his brothers. And he was carted off to Egypt. And he lands up in Potiphar's house. Now, Potiphar was a big shot with lots of cash. And probably lots of chariots, two-car chariot garage. And he had a pretty wife. And from what anything I read about Egypt in those days, it was a lot like today. Like anything goes. Everybody's doing it. Who cares? And here's Joseph. His theology is upside down. Because he's not really, in his mind, being blessed, because he's away from home. It's almost like he's being punished. But he's so faithful that Potiphar doesn't only, you know, he's not only a slave, he's the head of the household. He's a young guy, but Potiphar likes his work so much, he can trust Joseph so much that Joseph runs his house. Now, I got to tell you something, folks. It's just not like Joseph was out cutting the lawn and things like that. He ran everything. I wonder if they cut the lawn in those days. Anyway. But Mrs. Potiphar liked Joseph. And the world tells you, young people, listen to what the world says. You can't watch a TV program. I read something coming out of a director out of Hollywood. Said in order to have a successful TV show series, especially a TV show or TV series to be successful, it must break at least 6 commandments per episode. 6 of God's commandments per episode. Isn't that something? I want you to think about that. Joseph lived in a society like that. Egypt was like that. And, you know, I can just hear Mrs. Potiphar. Joseph, first of all, Joseph, who's going to know? Nobody's not going to say anything. Joseph might have thought, well, everybody's doing. You know what Joseph said? Joseph got on his Reeboks and he headed out of that home big time. And young people, I'm going to suggest something to you. That the hardest word in the English language is for you young people to have to say no. But more than that, I would pray that I look into your faces here today, this weekend, that each and every one of you has resolved in your heart to obey God rather than to follow the world's standards. Whether they think things are right, you know what's right, young person. You know what you need to do. You know the Bible is very clear on sexual issues, that you are to keep yourself. You are to remain a virgin until you get married, with no exceptions to that. And I'll tell you what, young people, you are not going to be in any tougher position than Joseph was. And God will honor you, and God will give you grace, and God will see you through. But you know what's going to have to happen, young people, for you to make that decision? You're going to have to learn to say no. I don't care if all your friends and what they're doing. I don't care what the TV programs tell you is acceptable. And if some guy, young lady, tells you that he loves you and he wants you to prove that love to him back, and it has to do with having sex with him, then he doesn't love you. I can tell you that from a guy's point of view. He didn't love you. He lusts for you. There's a big difference between those things. And don't fall for the trap that Satan has put into this world, because he is the one who controls temporarily. He's the one that orchestrates the line dancing. And you know what, young people? The young people that have impressed the most are young people that have made choices in their lives and they've stood up for what they believe. And you want respect, ladies, from some guy? Then you say no. You really love me? Then you will wait. Because that's what God wants. And it's not because God's up there in heaven going, well, I just don't want you to have any fun. No. I can tell you something from being married 32 years come on November the 29th. You know what I thank God for? Can I tell you what I thank God for, young people? I'm going to tell it to you straight. I thank God that my wife never slept with someone else. And why do you think, ladies, that's going to impress somebody if you do it and then you get married? You know what happens? There's no more trust. God's trying to protect you from that. Temporary pleasure. For what? For what? Sex is a wonderful thing, but it belongs in the marriage bed. That's when it's wonderful. That's when it's beautiful. That's what God has made it for. You got the guts, young people? You look at me here for a minute. You got the guts to be different? It's going to be easy not to be different. You want to follow the crowd? Go ahead. But don't tell me you've got a backbone. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have joy. And I'll tell you what, from watching young people over the last 20 years, I can tell you, the ones that are happiest are the ones that are obedient to God's word. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I came through the 60s. The 60s really occurred, you know. I know you young people looking like I got two heads. Who cares? Well, the 60s was the start of the sexual revolution. If you read anything about the history of North America, well, Europe and North America, it was a tremendous, tremendous change. My parents were completely flabbergasted by the 60s because it was do your own thing. And I went through that, and you know what? It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. I didn't think it could get any worse, but it has. But I can tell you something, young people. You got to learn to say no. You got to purpose in your heart to say no. Look at verse 25. There's a word there that I really like. In verse 24, he refused. In verse 25, he chose. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He chose. Daniel chose. Remember the story of Daniel? He went to the U of B probably when he was 16. You know what the U of B is? University of Babylon. He was transported, you see. Left Israel at a young age. Another guy that didn't go by, wasn't his choice, didn't get to choose universities. Young people will. But he was a long way away from home. And you know what they tried to do with Daniel? As soon as they got him into the U of B, they'll do this in your schools too. Try and change your diet. Try and change your name. What do you mean by changing your diet? Well, they tried to make Daniel eat things that he knew were sacrificed to idols. Daniel said he purposed in his heart. The book of Daniel, folks, read verse 8 of chapter 1 and you'll find out why the book was written. It's because Daniel chose. He made a choice when he was young and he says, you know what? I will not defile myself. And folks, if you want to become a strong Christian, then you're going to have to make choices. Daniel made choices. The world's going to try and change your diet. Oh, instead of reading the Bible, you be honest with yourself. I mean, I have no idea what you do. Daniel wouldn't allow his diet to be changed. He went away to the U of B. His parents would have never known. But Daniel meditated on God's word. He had it in his heart. And young people, it doesn't happen by osmosis. You know, you put your Bible by your bed and you hope it sort of comes in overnight. You know, call that osmosis. Doesn't happen like that. Guess what you got to do? You got to read it. And I, be honest with yourself, young people. How many people in this room read their Bible every day? How many people in this room read their Bible for, or have a little devotional for more than 5 minutes every day? How many people in this room study the Word of God for a half an hour a day? How many people in this room watch, like the average person in North America, 4 to 5 hours of TV a day? How many people in this room spend more than an hour a day on the internet? Well, it's choices you make, isn't it? And you know, like I really appreciated what Jamie had to say in terms of, you know, obeying the parents in that session this morning. It really has to. He asked this question to the young people over here. You know, you might fool other people, but you really are not going to fool God, and you certainly will not fool yourselves if you really are honest with yourselves here today. And these young people, they were no older than you. And you know what? Moses, I don't know what he wore, but I would say this expression. He put his pants on one leg at a time, just like you did. Like you do. And I think Joseph was the same. And I think, you know what? Daniel was the same too. He wasn't any different than you. He wasn't given anything special. God used them once they became obedient. And it's a matter, you know what, young people? Each and every one of us can be used by God. It's up to us whether we're going to be obedient or not. Mark Twain said this about the Bible. It's not what I understand about the Bible that... It's not what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me. It's what I do understand. You know, young people, we talked about some areas in the Bible maybe a little difficult to understand. But what bothers Mark Twain and bothers me is the things that I do understand. Choices. I don't know. Can you justify? You know, if you've got a verse for me, like Jamie said this morning, you got a verse, prove me this verse. Bible says not to be unequally yoked. Young people, what are you doing dating non-Christians? There's no moral, biblical exception to that. God does not honor disobedience. Well, I'm social work dating. I call it social work dating. The more problems the guy has, I saw this in my young people back in Timmins for years. The more problem the guy had, the more the girls liked them. And that's social work dating. All the guys, oh, you know how many young people I've seen go into the ditch, spiritual-wise, over that one area of disobedience? And young people, can I share something else? You start that pattern, and you start on a slippery slope, a very slippery slope. And oh, God is gracious, and He can be, He can bring you back. But I want to tell you something. If you marry an unbeliever, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law the rest of your life. You know what I mean by that? Guess who your father-in-law is going to be? The devil. Because an unbeliever's father, spiritually, is the devil. Remember that. Scripture tells you that. You know, we're not all God's children. The Bible divides us, not because we're good, but because either you've accepted Christ or you haven't. And if you haven't, the world is under the influence of the evil one, and the father of those people is Satan. Scary thought. That's going to be your father-in-law. You'll have trouble with them. And young people, I know what's going to happen. You get older. I've seen this happen time after time after time. There comes a time in your life, you know the Bible is true. You have kids and you want to raise them up. You want to train them up like Moses' parents, but you're unequally yoked. And your spouse, he doesn't want that, or she doesn't want that, because the father-in-law doesn't want it. Still being influenced. Becomes very difficult. You know what, children? You're not children. I'm talking about children. You know what children understand? They understand a unified message. You know what they don't understand? A mixed message. And I can tell you again from just experience and having a little bit of experience in watching this. Parents that come, kids that come out of where the father or one of the parents is not saved, mixed messages, and especially listen to this, especially if the father is not saved. There's always exceptions, but I'm going to say this. Very, very, very difficult to raise up a child. Very difficult for a person to be saved in that kind of environment when there's mixed messages. So young people, I'm going to tell you something right now. The choices you make right now, the choices that you make right now, and I'm going to ask you to do something here this weekend. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. I'm not going to center you out. I'm going to ask you to do something in your heart right now. And that is, in your heart, I want you now, if you are ready, to make a choice. You will make a choice that you will remain pure. Now, if you have faltered, and there's possibly somebody or several people or whatever, I don't know. If you've already faltered in this area, I want to give you some good news. God has a file 13. You know what file 13 is? I have one in my office. That's when I get junk mail and I don't want to read it. I put it in file 13. It's called the garbage. God has a file 13. And you know what I love about God? That if you made a mistake, if you have sinned, and you confess that sin, and you turn your life around, you repent, God has a file 13. He won't remember any of it. I like that. So you can turn it around right now, young person. But I want to ask you this in your heart this weekend. There's no coincidence that you're here. Maybe some of you got dragged here by your heels. You didn't feel like coming. Oh, no. A Bible thumper is going to preach at me. I don't want to hear it. But I'm going to ask you something, folks. There's no coincidence God has brought you here this weekend. I want to ask you and challenge you to do this. You make a choice right here, right now. Because here's what I'm... You know what Northern Ontario bush pilots used to do? They used to fly by the seat of their pants. You know what that means? Well, they didn't have much instrumentation in their planes. And they used to feel that gravity by the seat of their pants, whether they were flying... Have you ever been into the clouds in a small plane? I have. You don't know if you're up this way or you're that way. And, you know, you're supposed to rely on instrumentation, but these bush pilots relied on by the seat of their pants. Wasn't always a good thing, you know. But you know what I find with a lot of Christian young people? You fly by the seat of your pants. You know what I mean by that? Whatever comes, you'll make your choices when it comes. You see, when Daniel, before he got to the U of B, let me tell you what happened in his heart. Daniel says, I don't care where they bring me. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what the society or the morals are like when I get over to Babylon. One thing about me is that I'm going to remain true to God. Young people, I'll tell you something. You've got to make that choice now. Don't think you're just, you know, one day, well, I'll just see what happens. A lot of Christians are like that. You know, they go through life, they go to church, they once in a while read their Bible, but then, ladies, I'm centering you out. A hunk comes along.
And you know, you know it's wrong, but he's not a Christian, but, well, you know, I can win him to the Lord. Guys, you've been in the locker rooms. I don't have to tell you about the talk, the notches on your belt, and all this kind of stuff that the world would talk about. Guys, are you ready to be faithful to God in spite of what the rest of the world does? Are you ready to stand up for Jesus Christ and to be different? It's a choice you make. And I'm going to suggest something to you young people. If you haven't made that choice, then I suggest you do it now. I remember young people in our youth group in Timmins. I remember taking a group. There was a solid group of sort of an inner core group. There must have been 20 of them. And they would come to midweek studies, and we would go over things. And I remember some kids, you know, we were talking about these subjects, and I remember young men, very popular, very athletic, that said, "You know what, Dr. Martin, I'm going to wait. I've made up my mind. I'm going to follow Christ." And folks, I wish I could, I had time today, or even more so, that they could come up here now that they're 30 years old, married, training their children up to the things of Christ. I wish they could come up and give you a testimony of going through high school and university, making those right choices, and how God has blessed their socks off for doing it. And I had young ladies say to me, "Dr. Martin, I am going to remain pure. And I have decided to follow Christ. I'll never date an unbeliever, and I'll only marry a strong believer." I had those kids raise the bar. I said, "You know what? I don't even want you to just to marry a Christian. Young ladies, I want you to marry someone that could become an elder someday." I said, "That's the kind of guy you want to marry. That's the kind of father that will be a good father. That's the kind of husband that will really take care of you and put you first. That's the kind of guy you want to marry." Don't, young people, I'm telling you. You make those choices now. You're not going to wait till you get to 21, 22 and then decide you're going to live for Christ. I'll tell you what, folks, it don't happen. It doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, it's usually the opposite. If you don't make those strong choices now with a firm commitment to Christ, I'm going to tell you, I look at your faces, young people, and I just got to be honest with you. I wonder how many of you will still be going on for Jesus Christ in 10 years from now. I wonder. I wonder. And if you're just flying by the seat of your pants, going through Christianity because, well, that's what your parents made you do. And you might have made a profession to Christ and you might even have been baptized, but you know, you don't like reading. This is boring. Friend, if this is boring, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you don't find this book enjoyable, you're not in love. And love. Love of God made Joseph, Moses, Daniel. It was their love of God that made them say no and made them choose the choices they made. If you're not in love, I'll tell you, if you don't love the Bible, you don't love Jesus. Now, you might be fond of them, but you don't love them. You don't love this book? It's impossible. You can't be, "I love Jesus," and you never read this. This is His book. This is His Word. This is your food. You can't grow as a Christian unless you, You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste and see that the Lord is good, folks? You chew on this word every day. You meditate on it. I bet you some of you are sad they asked me to speak, eh? I got the can't help it, guys. I can't help it. You know why? Because when I see young people, there's no one, listen to what I'm going to say now, there's no one that can bring people to Jesus Christ like you young people can. Folks, I just want to share this and I'll close with this. When you go to school, what we talked about last night, the big issues in life, pounding at people's hearts at a young age, you know what they are? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And young people, if you got your head screwed on properly, and you're living for Christ, and you've made those choices already, you know what? There are hundreds, let me tell you that. There are hundreds and hundreds of people that you rub shoulders with every day, that you go to school with and are your friends every day. You know what? They're looking to you. They're looking to you. Look at verse, I just finished with this. Look at verse 29. It's all by faith. Moses, he, right? Read every verse. Choosing. He chose, he esteemed, he forsook, he endured, he kept. And we're going to talk about those later on. But by faith, they, young people, listen. You, whether you like it or not, are the voice of the gospel. You are a leader, whether you like it or not. You might say, well, no, I'm a follower. I'm shy. No. Do you know what, young people? If you are a Christian, here's what God does. He enlightens your friends, whether you live like a Christian or not. Did you know that? There are people at school that are looking. They know all about you. It always amazes me. They know more about you than you would ever expect. You might have never shared Jesus with anybody. You might have. Never shared Jesus with anybody. But you know what, folks? You might as well, because they know it. And when the world, listen to this, the world is dying for the truth. Did you know that, young people? And you know what the word truth is? It's a Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a word there that I really like, because it really speaks to what truth is. It says truth, the word truth. When Jesus said, I am the truth, you know what he said? Jesus said, I am alopecia. You know what it means in Greek? It means I can see right through you. Young people, you stand up for Jesus Christ. And I don't care if you go and give out tracts or whatever. I'm not talking about that. Live for him. Be obedient. Be different. Look at people through your eyes and love them up. The losers in the school. The ones that are full of acne and maybe overweight or whatever. You love them up. And I'll tell you what, folks. They are looking to you. Because you have the truth. You have the truth. And I'll tell you what, folks. Christ is working in your schools and in your neighborhoods. And you might not be aware of that, but I'm going to tell you, if you decide to become a soldier for Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, he will show you those things. It's amazing to me. And you know, when we get older, people get set in their ways. But young people, you know what? They're looking. They're looking for the truth. So I pray this weekend that you will leave this conference. It might be a life-changing conference for each and every one that will come. That you will make choices this weekend. You will be resolved this weekend.
that you will go home and you will decide to live for Jesus, and that you will ask God to use you in a mighty way, and you will lead. I'm telling you, hundreds and hundreds of people will come to know Christ through your testimony because of your age. I'm telling you that. You just stand up for Jesus. Obey His word. And see, don't fly through your Christian life by the seat of your pants. Follow His word. Ask God that you would fall in love with His word so that you can fall in love with Jesus all over again. And I'll tell you something, folks. When you're in love, I want to tell you that. After 32 years. When you're in love, it's easy to obey. It is. My wife doesn't have to give me the do's and don'ts. Oh, she gives me a list. It's usually, you know, do this and do that. But it's not like, Tony, I don't want you to go to the bars tonight, okay, looking for other women. My wife doesn't have to do that. Why? Because I love her. That's why. And as a matter of fact, when she gives me the list of things to do, I'm happy to do it. You know why? I'm getting brownie points. I'm pretty smart, you know. I might look stupid. No, it's more than that. It's because I love her. It's easy. You know, it's enjoyable. I get lots of rewards. And I'm in love. How about you, folks? You in love? God's will. You know, what does He want me to do? He wants you to love Him. He's a person. He wants you to fall in love. Because when you're in love with Jesus, it's easy. You'll enjoy the Word. You might even enjoy a preacher like me once in a while. Possibly. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, O God, for bringing us together, Father. You know these young people's hearts, Father. I don't know them at all, but You do. Father, if today You have touched anyone's heart, I pray, O God, that You, Father, would just speak to that individual or individuals, Father, like only You can. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God might come upon this conference this weekend. And Father, just melt hearts that are here today, Lord. Father, draw them back to Your Son, that they might love Jesus. And Father, that, Lord, they might live for Him. And Father, we pray these things in Your Son's precious name. Amen.